Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss. On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. Feel that hot blood.
It is time to fire it up. The boss and the gloss. I am sitting next to the Monday Night Delight. Carla, welcome in.
Who almost forgot to bring the microphone over.
Well, sometimes when, Jose, when you play this kind of music and you get her dancing,
I get all lost up in it.
So well, she forgets that there is a radio show here and that she's supposed to be engaged in talking, offering her wisdom.
This is not Dancing with the Stars? I'm flanked by two stars right here, Jose and David.
No, the only stars are the ones on your pants.
Yes, they are. And what color are they, Jose?
Black and silver.
Woo! See, Raider Nation, unite.
Already talking about the stars on her pants. You really know how to win her heart early, don't you, Jose?
Sure.
Yes, I'd say. Well, there's a lot of sports to cover today, I might say. Winners and losers in free agency, always a hot topic with the rapid-fire NFL free agency period.
Don't you forget my March Madness.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it's a great time of year.
I know you'd filled out your whole bracket before the
selection committee.
Selection Sunday, yes. And then you had to redo it all again, right? You've been iterating on it over and again.
I only had to redo very little bits of it.
Wow.
Because I nailed it.
Because she nailed it. And if you want to win big money in your office pool, you will want to hear what the gloss has to say. Next segment, we will dive deeply into March Madness.
We're all pressure on me.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know you can do that. And then we've got Johnny Football has a new job. That's a big deal.
How about that?
Johnny Football joining the AAF to
and
play
Coach
for Memphis.
Coach Singletary.
Yeah. Wait till Coach Singletary gets a hold of Johnny Football.
It's going to be, you know what? It's either going to work or not work with Mike Singletary right there.
Well, it's sort of the last stop. I mean, it was 2012. He won a Heisman Trophy. That was a long, long time ago. It's 6-7 years ago.
There's been some domestic assault, some drugs, some alcohol, and even some bipolar in between.
Mm. All right, so when we come back, we're going to take a look at how Selection Sunday went, and you'll get to hear from the gloss on her bracket and picks. Next up on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, we know you as the Monday Night Delight, as the world's biggest sports fan, as the one who sits down and watches bowling or roller derby on a bad Saturday sports day. As someone all in committed to all things sports, and we know that you had filled out a bracket before Selection Sunday. And then the committee actually came up with the tournament. What do you think? Do you like what they did?
I love what they did.
Really?
Yes. I just have two question marks, not even question marks, but two things that could have gone other ways, in my opinion. But I think for the most part, the committee nailed it. And, you know, this year they've made a change. And RPI is now a thing of the past.
Yep.
It's not for the Women's Selection Committee, which is going to be coming out tonight. But they're using an NET, the NCAA equation. I can't remember exactly what it is. I'm going to have to look what it is.
Something
but they're using
technical and statistical.
Evaluation tests. That's
yes.
What it is. And which is a lot more, it's all-encompassing. Like RPI was so nuanced that seriously a single possession, and you know there are thousands of possessions in a season, a single possession can change an RPI. And this way with the NET or the net, whatever they're calling it, it's much more pervasive and they use a lot more of the metrics than RPI. So I think that really helped. They now have the quadrants. The quadrant one wins, the quadrant two wins, which take into account where you're playing the game. Because in college basketball, which is unusual, the average is that the home team wins 2 out of 3 games.
Yep.
And RPI did not factor for home court advantage. And NET does.
Yeah, now that seems like a healthy change and amendment. Let's start at the top with the number one seeds. Duke.
They're the overall number one.
Yeah, I mean, nobody can really debate that. They deserve to be there. Zion is back healthy, and they are far and away the favorite for this whole tournament, no doubt. There are 3 ACC teams listed as number one seeds. Did that surprise you?
No, because I look at who these teams are.
Yeah.
So you've got the number one overall seed is Duke. The second number one overall seed is UVA.
Yep.
Well, they've lost to Duke. I mean, they are, and last year, oh my gosh, you know, they have the very sad distinction of being the only number one team to be beat by a 16 seed ever in the history of the tournament.
Right.
So they've got an axe to grind. I cannot deny UVA as a number one seed.
No, they had just 3 losses all year, and 2 were to Duke.
Exactly.
But North Carolina, make their case.
They've beat Duke 2 out of 3 times.
They beat them twice, right.
I mean, goodness gracious. And they are clearly playing like a number one seed. And they should be a number one seed. So anyone who thinks that the ACC is getting preferential treatment is not looking at the competition in the ACC. I mean, it's a bloodbath. It's murderer's row in the ACC. So I do think those 3 teams are very deserving.
One team North Carolina beat along the way was Gonzaga, who got to be the 4th number one seed. But they didn't win their conference. I mean, was that a stretch to put Gonzaga in there?
You know, I don't know if I would say it's a stretch, but I don't know that I totally agree with it.
Right.
And I'm a West Coast girl, so I want to be all in with Gonzaga. But if I'm really being honest, I really think that that spot should go to Tennessee, who played in the SEC, which is a very, you know, had 3 really tough teams in the SEC with LSU, Tennessee. It's a great conference. Gonzaga plays in the West Coast Conference, not as tough. But here's why I think ultimately, 2 reasons why ultimately Gonzaga is sitting in there as a number one seed. Had Tennessee won the SEC championship, they would have been there.
Right.
Not only did they not win it, they lost badly to Auburn. So I think that cost Tennessee the number one spot. And the reason I think Gonzaga is in there, and believe me, I love Mark Few and what he's doing with that program. And you watch their superstar, Rui Hachimura, oh my goodness. He's insane. But I think that the reason they're in there, and this is when I first was watching Hachimura, was at the Maui Invitational in November. And they beat Duke in the finals, a full-strength Duke. And they're the only team in this whole field who has beat Duke at full strength. And I think that is the reason Gonzaga got the number one, because they lost their conference finals as well. You know, Tennessee lost it badly to Auburn. But Gonzaga lost it badly to St. Mary's College, the Gaels. Now, while they do make a lot of tournament appearances, that shouldn't happen. So to me, both those teams, Tennessee and Gonzaga, both had really rough conference championship results, like losses and bad losses. But because Duke is the number one overall seed and Gonzaga is the only team to have beat a full-strength Duke, that, to me, is what got them their number one spot.
It is amazing, as we're talking about these number one seeds, how much of their placement and thought goes into, well, how did they do against Duke? And did they play the full-strength Duke or the Duke without Zion? So Duke is really the team to watch this year. Just a standout season for them with Zion on the court. Let's look a little closer to home. We're broadcasting here from Houston, Texas. The University of Houston, they've had a great season under Kelvin Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
They're the number 3 seed there in the Midwest. You're happy with their placement?
I'm really happy with their placement, because you look at that Midwest region. I cannot argue the number one overall seed in that region being UNC. No way.
Yep, you got to agree there.
And look at number 2, it's Kentucky. While U of H has got a phenomenal record at 31-3, best record since the days of Phi Slamma Jamma in the 80s, they play in the AAC. It's different than the SEC. It's different than the ACC. So the competition's a little tougher. I think Kelvin Sampson would agree with me. I don't think they're a force. I think they're better than Kansas.
Yep.
He's the number 4 seed in that region in the Big 12. I think they're placed perfectly. And they're poised. They're going to face number 14, Georgia State, at 24-9. And they're a great team. They're a great three-point shooting team. So it's going to be a fun matchup. I think when you look at what Kelvin Sampson has done in 4 years with that program, when his first year, when he was 13 and 19, I believe, to now having, you know, tying the school's best record and tying the best record overall this year in Division I basketball is astounding. And I love them at a three seed.
All right, let's look over at the East bracket. There is the Richard Pitino revenge game, right?
Oh, my gosh.
How fun is that? That Richard Pitino will take his Minnesota
team. Son of
team
Rick Pitino.
And to go play. Yeah,
Louisville.
He's the son of Rick Pitino and play Rick Pitino's former team, Louisville. Now, coincidence or conspiracy?
It's not a coincidence. And the committee has done right by how they've seeded those teams.
Yes.
And that they're also, by putting them in the same bracket. I mean, this is all about money-making, too, and excitement and bringing all that in. And, wow, I'm going to be watching that. And do you think, okay, here's my question for you. Do you think Rick Pitino, fuming at his old university, is going to give his son some insights?
Any insight he has, yes, no doubt, he's fuming. And he is resentful and frustrated, bitter, call it what it is.
Right, he doesn't think he should be out of a job.
No, he does not. He thinks
knock,
that was
knock.
An unfair
is anybody home?
Firing.
Don't get me started. You know how I am with Rick Pitino.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What's the issue here? And then on the number two seeds, there's some good number two seeds. I mean, Michigan State, Michigan, they both have really good cases to make that they deserve to be where they are as number two seeds in their brackets.
Okay, well, that was my other question mark. You know, okay. I told you at the beginning, I had two question marks. I thought that overall the committee nailed it.
Yep.
But it was the Gonzaga number one seed that could have gone either way. And it's this Michigan State seed at number two. First of all, I don't think they should have had to be in the same region, the East region, with Duke.
Hmm.
However, to look at the other side and be the devil's advocate, it's like, hey, the committee did you a favor. You're going to be playing close to your fan base. And that makes a difference. You're not in Anaheim where they could have sent you.
Yep.
So you're close in, you know, rounds one and two, I believe, to your fan base. So maybe that's what the committee was thinking. Michigan State shared the regular season conference championship, and they also outright won the regular season championship. Then they outright won the conference championship and beat rival Michigan 3 times. So when I look at Michigan being a number two seed in the West and Michigan State being a number two in the East, I think if I'm Michigan State, I'm a little bit bummed.
I hear you. I agree.
So,
all right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Jason Cole. He's the editor-in-chief of FanSided, and we will ask him about all things NFL, who the biggest winners and losers are in the free agency season of the NFL. When we return, Jason Cole will join us on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, can I ask you a very personal favor?
We do this weekly. Just have at it. Go.
Okay,
go,
here we go.
Go.
I don't want you to take a chance of being stranded. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Deal.
You got it.
Got it.
All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Jason Cole. He's the editor-in-chief of Fansided.com. Jason, you're on with David and Carla. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. What's going on?
Well, it's great to talk to you. You know, I met you back before you became so prominent, big, and famous, way in the old days back at Yahoo.
Hopefully you still remember him, right, Jason?
You remember me, I hope.
Yeah, I do remember you, yes. And I will laugh at the fact that, I wouldn't call it famous, but sure. I'll
sure.
go with that for now.
Sure.
Better than infamous, so we'll take famous.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I've been called infamous before, so that one's more legit.
That means you're doing your job. That's what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I told Carla that you know all things NFL and that she can ask you any question, But let's start with a very basic one. Let's start with the Giants and the big trade to the Browns. Do you think the Giants made the right move? Can you see, if you squint closely enough, can you see some logic in what they're doing with David Gettleman's plan?
What kind of bifocals do I get? No. You don't, like, this is smacks of making it up as you go along.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, well, we, you know, you get 6 months later after you sign a guy to a new contract. I didn't like that, so let's, like, that makes you indecisive. And I hate that. Have a plan, follow it, go with it. Yeah, sure, there can be mitigating factors sometimes, but don't let a great player get out, especially for a cheap price. I mean, I thought the Khalil Mack trade was cheap, and that makes this look like a highway robbery.
Mm.
I mean, this is a game-changing player. And the same goes true of Antonio Brown. I mean, he was had for even less, and Antonio Brown is a star. I mean, there aren't that many guys who change the X's and O's of a game that way. And when you get guys who change X's and O's, you've got to figure out a way, you know, to work with them. I mean, they're not always easy to handle, but you got to find a way because those guys only come along once in a while.
Well, Jason, speaking of, you know, just scratching your head about the Giants, people were doing the same with the Oakland Raiders last season, including Moo, who I grew up with those boys. I love the Raiders, and between Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, I'm like, what in the heck is going on? However, I'm looking now, I'm beside myself with the Antonio Brown trade, and looking that, you know what, they didn't have to give up much, and they're sticking with their long-term plan. So I want to see what you think about the Raiders' moves, and now with the draft, is defense going to be their main focus?
Well, I mean, you would think. I mean,
you would think.
Somebody knows how to play. Get somebody who knows how to play defense, because they sure as heck don't have any. Unless this Kyler Murray thing is true, and Gruden's really willing to do that, which, you know, would just surprise me in the first round. Not surprise me overall, because he really did love Russell Wilson coming out, and he said that, and he said it, you know, on camera and off camera. So I don't think he's afraid to take a short quarterback. Just taking a short quarterback that high is really a risk. I would say, look, I think they have a plan now. I don't think they had a plan at the time. And when they made the Khalil Mack trade, I don't think they had a plan. I think that they, again, made it up as they were going along. Do they have a plan now? Yeah. And did they make a great move on Antonio Brown? Yeah, I'll go with that. Have some of the free agent moves been okay? Sure. Trent Brown, I'm a little squeamish about. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's not the guy I would have expected to be the highest paid offensive lineman in the league at any point in time, any time in his career.
That might be a supply and demand issue since there's no one really.
It always is. I mean, I understand the economic factors that go into it. There are just times where I just sit there and go, really, Trent Brown? I mean, I saw that kid in Florida. I heard Dante Scarnecchia talk about how they had to, like, get on his case a lot this last season in practice. But the rest of the moves I'm okay with. I think they've invigorated the club. I think they get people excited. I think they'll get people to come out. I'm okay with all of that. That's okay. I mean, you got the money to spend. Go ahead and get some star players. I just say this, you better draft well, and you better start to keep the guys that you get in the draft. Because one thing, it's the statement that you make when you trade away great players like Khalil Mack is not just the statement you're making to your fans or to the player himself, but you're telling the rest of the guys in your locker room who you draft that you're fungible and that it doesn't matter if you're part of the family or not. You know, we'll get rid of you and do whatever we need to it at whatever time. And that's sometimes a dangerous message to make guys, you know. You want to pay guys who've been in your organization and learned the way that you've learned. And maybe that will develop over time. It's not what's going on right now.
We're talking to Jason Cole. He's the editor-in-chief of Fansided.com. So, Jason, I want to talk to you about the Miami Dolphins. We've been talking about teams who...
Why?
who have plans or seem to be making up as they
tanking
go along.
Tanking for Tua Dolphins?
Is the plan to tank this season for Tua? Or, I mean, do they really feel they've got something?
If you think Tua is that good, I mean, I got a bunch of people who tell me that Tua is not a first-round pick. So maybe I'm wrong about that. But, look, I think tanking is a dangerous thing in football.
Yeah,
I understand it in basketball because one player can change your whole team. I understand it to a smaller extent in baseball because it's hard to find guys with certain skill level that's that great. But even baseball, it's hard to do because you have 162 games. In football, the mental toll that you put on a team when you tank is immeasurable in my mind. It's dangerous. I mean, everybody's like, oh, tank, get the best player. Well, Detroit went and got Ndamukong Suh, Matt Stafford, and Calvin Johnson. But, like, you couldn't get three better draft picks than those guys that they got when they were playing poorly. I'm not saying they were tanking, but they were certainly playing poorly, right? Did it result in them being any good?
Right.
Cleveland was awful for a long time, right?
Yep.
High pick after high pick after high pick. That do them any good? Not until about 9 years later, right? So, you know, they finally got Baker Mayfield because they finally got a GM who knew what he was doing. But there's an awful lot of squandered high first-round picks that, they screwed up on. So tanking is a great idea in concept. It's one of those that the analysts talk about all the time. I think that when you lose a lot in football, the people who play lose faith in everybody in the organization. It takes such a huge mental toll to lose like that. Brian Flores, if they go through a year or two of that for, of losing like that, Brian Flores is going to be the head coach, and Chris Greer is not going to be the GM. And guess what's going to happen? All the guys that you took for 2 years with those guys, they're going to get run out by the next GM and the next coach because those guys don't fit in. So this is a bad concept unless you're willing to sit there and stay with your hierarchy for a long period of time.
We're talking to Jason Cole, editor-in-chief of FanSided. So you mentioned the Browns. Now, they had all those bad seasons, have accumulated some talent, and they did have to sort of restart, right, with John Dorsey. Baker Mayfield brought a lot of energy. Are they now the favorites in the AFC North?
Oh, I think they're the favorites in the entire league. They might be the favorites in the entire star system. Like, the whole thing. I'm thinking they're going to win the universe. I mean, I'm not, like, I'm being a little facetious. You guys aren't laughing. You're not helping me out.
I'm looking so shocked that I can't quite get a laugh mustered
up. This is a dead crowd. I'm getting flop sweat.
Okay, we're with you now.
Okay, all right. I think that what they've done is created an incredible amount of excitement, and I think that when you have the quarterback in place, it makes so much other stuff so easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about, the quarterback, you have to have that guy who can set, the table for everything, and that guy can. He really, really can do it. And I just think that, they're in such a great position. Now, my only problem is, John Dorsey, who's my boy. I like John Dorsey a lot. He's got a tendency to take some guys who are train wrecks. Kareem Hunt. And who knows what's going to happen here with Tyreek Hill. So I worry about that, coming into play. But as long as he avoids the total train wrecks, and he's already brought in Kareem Hunt again, I think that this is a manageable team. It's a young team, and it's a team that'll be focused and will go the right direction. I mean, they're a long, long way from the Johnny Manziel years.
No, it's exciting times in Cleveland. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. He's Jason Cole, editor of Fansided.com.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Always intriguing to talk to Jason Cole. He knows all things NFL. The one thing he said, though, that I just can't get out of my head, which I don't understand, is people still talk about John Gruden wanting Kyler Murray as his quarterback.
Oh, my gosh. And I hope that's rumors. I hope that's all it is.
Well, and so the narrative goes like this, that Kingsbury, the Cardinals, are talking about how they want Kyler Murray to force John Gruden to use draft capital to go up and get Kyler Murray at number one because that's who Gruden wants because he doesn't believe in Derek Carr. I just don't believe that narrative. It doesn't make any sense to me. One narrative not that long ago was that Gruden likes veteran quarterbacks. Remember, he had Rich Gannon in his old days.
Sure.
Why would he? Derek Carr is a guy that wasn't that long ago everybody thought of as a franchise quarterback.
He was having an MVP season in 2016 before he broke his leg.
So I think the great thing for the Raiders, their position now, is they've got three first-round draft picks. They need a lot of help on defense, and there's a lot of help on defense coming in this first round. I see a lot of mocks that suggest that the Raiders might, in the later part of the first round, with one of their later picks, take Josh James, the running back,
because from Alabama.
Marshawn Lynch is no young chicken anymore, right? So you can take some stud defensive linemen, maybe a great linebacker, maybe a corner, with your first two picks, take Josh James, your third pick in the first round, and you've really restocked that team, given all the other moves they've just made.
No, I agree. I hope it's rumors because, and you've got now, you know, in this past week since Antonio Brown has been signed. Woo, did I mention I'm excited about that? I forgot.
You didn't need to mention it last week when you were jumping up and down and hitting the ceiling. Yeah, I remember.
I know, I can't help myself. But you know what? He's making great strides this week to reach out with Derek Carr and forge that relationship. I mean, he showed up at his doorstep and he said special delivery, showed up at Derek Carr's son's birthday party and was doing all the obstacle courses. I mean, that's what you want to see. You want a symbiotic relationship between your quarterback and your number one receiver. So don't go mess that up and bring in a guy who his biggest accomplishment at the combine was measuring over 5'10 and scaling in at 207 pounds. Did he pass? Nope. Did he run? Nope. Did he drill? Nope. But he measured and weighed.
And people liked him at his pro day. There was good feedback, though he did not run. I don't really know why he's opting not to run. I mean, speed is a big part of his story and what he can bring to the NFL. If you really can run a 4.3 40, why wouldn't you show it off and prove it all
right to
everybody?
And you don't give me the roll of the tape. Because roll the tape is Big 12 defenses.
Hey.
I might be able to run through those.
All right,
so
maybe.
I don't know. I'm confused by that. I mean, yeah. Obviously, he is uber talented. He won the Heisman. You know, Oklahoma was in the running at the end. I mean, he's not false. But why does he get to skip these things that every other player seems to have to go through in the combine? And what I find funny is that you've got an assistant coach from OU saying, oh, I mean, I'd project that he'd run a 4.33. That's like me telling you, David, set one of your sons up with my daughter. She's really cute. You don't need to see her, but she's pretty. I'm the mother. Of course I'm going to say she's pretty.
Right.
Why am I going to believe this Oklahoma assistant? Show me the money. I want to see his 4.3. I want to see his 4.4, whatever it is. I just want to see him run.
Well, and there was a narrative that because he's gained weight, so he weighed better at the combine, getting up to something like 205, that might have slowed him down, and nobody really knows because he hasn't run yet.
Well, then that weight's not true because he was moving and grooving in college. So let's get the truth serum out here before we go take him number one.
All right. If I were Arizona, I certainly would want that opportunity, and I'm sure Arizona will get a look at him. They'll invite him into their camp. We'll see what comes out of that
Gruden
visit.
Stay away.
I don't.
Good friends tell friends to back off.
Yeah, well, you'll tell them that, I'm sure. Let's talk about the Texans. They're off season. It started slowly. They were not one of these guys or teams that went out and signed any big names. They didn't go out and get Trent Brown, a left tackle, which they would have loved to have added to their
roster.
Which
is what they really need.
That's what they need, is that offensive line help. But that was a big price tag to pay.
Yeah. For a fairly unproven guy.
Look, they had two needs coming in, right? They had offensive line needs and they had defensive backfield help. And they got some defensive backfield help.
They did. And I like what they did there. And I think they're, you know, a lot of people, especially in Houston where we are broadcasting from, are very nervous that the Texans have not done anything to protect Deshaun Watson at this point. However, just like you said, Trent Brown did great in New England. Almost everybody does great in New England in that plug-and-play system.
Yeah.
So to get the kind of money that the Raiders paid for him, he's not proven yet. I mean, I agree with that. Don't spend, even though the Texans have that money, don't do that. But what they wanted to do...
I think Trent Brown might prove to be a Nate Solder. I know as a Raiders fan, you don't want that to happen.
No, but we don't know. You're right.
Big productive season in New England, and then a team has come and given him a big contract. A lot of the credit to those offensive players on the offensive line in New England goes to that offensive coach, the offensive line coach, whose name I cannot pronounce, Scarchicchia.
Scarcielli or something,
yeah, something like
that. Yes.
And so anyway, we'll see what Trent Brown looks like when he goes elsewhere. He has a big, massive body. But yes, so the Texans were probably wise not to spend
they were because
that kind
there's a big drop off between Trent Brown and then the next couple free agents that are available. Big drop off. So I'm hoping that's what they're going to focus on in the draft. There's a good number of great offensive tackles that are available. Texans have a good first round pick for once. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, they wanted to. Brian Gain was very intent about getting younger, stronger, and faster in the secondary.
Right.
And he did.
They did.
And I like it. I like it a lot because Kareem Jackson is gone. You know, he went to Denver, and then the Texans brought in
Bradley Roby.
We did a little switch there.
Yeah. No, I think Bradley Roby pickup is interesting. I mean, it's a 1-year deal. He gets to prove who he is, but he's only 27 years old, and he was a first round pick of the Broncos. So this is a guy who has some pedigree.
Well, and you look at who the Texans don't have any longer, which they released cornerback Kevin Johnson.
Yep.
And they also weren't able to keep Kareem Jackson. With the two of them, there were definite durability issues. With Kevin Johnson, it was his size. With Kareem Jackson, he's 10 years in the league. And what they traded for in return with Bradley Roby, in 5 seasons in Denver, he has missed uno game. One.
Oh, that helps.
One.
Yep.
And then they also brought in safety Deshaun Gibson from Jacksonville in a 3-year deal, $22 million. He has not missed a start since 2015. So they've gotten younger, faster, stronger, and more durable, which I really like. Because they've got a young team. You know, Will Fuller can't get that out. As a wide receiver, you know, darn.
Well, they need those D-backs because they're going to be facing some great wide receivers.
Yeah, tell us who the Texans are going to be facing this year. It's crazy town.
It's a crazy. I mean, Antonio Brown, of course, from Oakland will be one of them. Tyreek Hill, if he's not suspended or otherwise out of the NFL. Mm-hmm. If he's back with the Chiefs, he'll be catching passes from Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you can go down the list. Michael Thomas of the
Do
Saints.
Do we dare say T.Y. Hilton? It's like a curse name here in Houston. He burns us so badly.
So those quarterbacks, I mean, Andrew Luck and Patrick Mahomes that we're just mentioning there and Drew Brees coming to, those will all be really tough matchups. And look, Jacksonville, whom of course they play twice, will now have Nick Foles, certainly an upgrade from Bortles. So when you look at the rosters, they need to shore up that pass defense, and hopefully they've done it with some of these additions.
Not to mention Julian Edelman and Michael Thomas are coming. I mean, there's a lot that the Texans need to prepare for. And they already have safety Justin Reed, who will be in his second year. He was the Texans' third-round pick who played like a first-rounder. But you know what he's doing in the offseason?
Tell me.
What most people do. Yeah. He went back to Stanford to finish his degree in industrial engineering. So, you know, kind of what everyone's doing.
We got
you
a
know?
Smart one. Yeah, that's impressive.
But his rookie year, listen to this, 81 tackles, 3 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 forced fumble, and 101 run back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice rookie season.
Yep.
So you add him to that mix. You know, we're missing some veterans, Dolph Jonathan Joseph, but they really did a nice job getting younger, faster, stronger, and more durable.
In the defensive backfield. Let's talk about offensive line for a minute because it was sort of interesting.
Do we have to?
That website SportsNot came out with the biggest losers in free agency, and they listed a bunch
of
names. It was sort of funny to see. One thing, though, that stood out to me in this context was one of the biggest losers in free agency thus far. It's still early. We've still got the whole draft to come. But Deshaun Watson has gotten no help. There's been no help on that offensive line. Deshaun Watson, well, he was sacked 62 times last year.
Oh, that just hurts.
And that's the most number of sacks since 2006 that a quarterback has had to deal with. So they've got to get him some help. He thus far has not been a winner in the offseason. He's looking for offensive line help.
He got David Card and Andrew Luck.
Yeah, we David Carr in
the
this
old
town
Andrew
in
Luck,
Houston, Texas. David Carr is he's a word. You don't want to David Carr him.
I know.
Right?
It's sad, so sad. And it's not David Carr's fault. There was nothing to protect him when he was here.
Yep.
But it really did force him out of the league. Had a quite short career because of it.
Interesting. Just to go down to some of the other losers of the free agency season on Sportsnet.
You like to highlight the losers?
I guess
that's
I do
so nice.
In this case. One was Saquon Barkley, which I found interesting.
Because he's alone. He's an island.
He's on an island. OBJ is gone. Eli's in his grand finale season and not what Eli used to be.
Oh, but not according to Dave Gettleman.
Well,
I mean, it's just a crock what people are saying, right?
It's awful. Mm-hmm. Yes. So then you go to Saquon, and he's sort of there on his own. His rookie season's behind him. And the Giants are not going to be legit for a year or two or three. A running back's lifespan is typically about 5 or 6 years, and then there's a drop-off. He could spend the first 3 to 4 years of his career.
In futility.
I mean, in futility, because look, who's the starting quarterback next year for the Giants? Maybe it's Dwayne Haskins. Maybe they draft him number 6 overall.
They did pick up Golden Tate, so there's a little bit of sunshine.
So for this year, they can muster it up with Eli, Saquon, and Golden. That's their big three. Certainly a drop-off from last year, and last year didn't go very far. Looking ahead, maybe it's Haskins, Barkley, and Golden Tate. But then you've got a rookie quarterback you're working. This is not a good era, not a great start to a career for Saquon Barkley.
No, but do you think they're going to miss OBJ? I mean, are the box scores and the results going to show that they miss OBJ?
Well, I'm not a big OBJ fan. I think the hype is bigger than the reality. But there are a lot of great physical attributes. Certainly defenses have to respect his speed, his ability to catch the ball over the field with his big wingspan. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of positive attributes. But to your point, if OBJ hadn't made that big catch on Sunday night, the one where Brandon Carr just was flailing around him, and Chris Collinsworth hadn't gushed for about the next 2 hours on that broadcast.
Yeah.
Collinsworth gushing and gushing and gushing. OBJ would still be a great receiver, don't get me wrong. But he did it on a big stage against the Dallas Cowboys, and it really elevated him to a sort of a larger-than-life picture in the NFL.
Right, he was revered.
Mm-hmm.
Much more, yes. Much. He hasn't done anything to help his team. But he's got some amazing highlights.
Well, he's done some things off the team. I mean, the playoff week, off on the boat ride. There are things about him that would give me lots of red flags if I were the Cleveland Browns.
Kicking the net, doing the touchdown celebration of urinating the dog situation. You know, that whole thing.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot that surrounds him. I mean, he is this super, super freakish talent. But it hasn't, to me, hasn't translated to results. And maybe we'll see in Cleveland that it will be different, that it's a better-run organization. It's yet to be determined.
Well, they have some big personalities on that team when you pair him up with
Jarvis
Baker
Landry,
Mayfield,
his former teammate.
Amazing. And then, of course, the volatility of the personal life of Kareem Hunt will weigh into that. There'll be lots of coverage. When will he be back? What will he be like when he comes back? There's just all kinds of noise that will come with that team. It will be a fun season to watch in Cleveland. I do think they are the AFC North. I appreciate Jason Cole's humor about their world beaters. No, but they are the AFC North favorites when you look at what's happened to the other teams. The Steelers have certainly taken a step back. The Ravens have taken a step back. And the Bengals have never taken a step almost anywhere.
which is very typical for the Bengals. Yeah, you look at that. I mean, Baltimore lost 4 of their defensive starters. They were the number one defense in the NFL. Pittsburgh has lost the best receiver in the NFL and the best running back.
Yep.
You know, arguably. So they're gone. And then Cincinnati, well, they've got a coach that's more unproven than even Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
So in Zach Taylor. And, you know, hey, we don't know. He could show us. But it really is the AFC North is Cleveland's division to lose.
All right. When we come back, we're going to look at the Dallas Cowboys who've been very quiet.
No, I got to hear what you think about your boys.
But the whispers are that Eric Berry is coming to town for a look-see. So that may be something they want to look at for their safety position. When we return, we'll talk about Eric Berry and the Dallas Cowboys on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So this hour of SB Nation Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Okay, it is intriguing. The Cowboys would like to add a safety to their roster. They have Xavier Woods. They have Jeff Heath. I don't think any one of those two are world beaters. Cowboys have some good corners, but they've been looking to upgrade the safety position. Earl Thomas was the big rumor. Lots of excitement around that. But Thomas, of course, signed a big contract with the Ravens. And now they're bringing former Chief, five-time Pro Bowler, Eric Berry, to the Cowboys. That's at least a visit that took place today. And I think if he's healthy, it would be a heck of an addition for that Dallas Cowboys secondary.
And clearly Dallas is looking for a bargain because they've got to pay a lot of people, including Dak Prescott. You know, and I love Eric Berry. I mean, he's a great story, although he's been on the field for three games in the last two seasons.
Yep.
But my gosh, cancer survivor, major injuries. I mean, it was comeback player of the year, so maybe he'll do that again.
Well, he tore his Achilles, I guess it was early 2017 campaign, and then he came back late last year. I don't think he was really true to form. Chiefs obviously have gone in a different direction. They signed the Honey Badger for a lot of money. I think there was some feeling that the Chiefs ought to bring Eric Berry back, but he is a free agent. Cowboys would love to get him at a bargain. Probably a deal that would have lots of incentives if Berry can stay on the field, start, and be healthy. Right.
But he's got fresh legs.
Right. All right, hour number one in the books, and it was presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.